If you turn back to that portion that we have been reading there, Matthew chapter 27, you've probably picked the text already that we want to consider. Verse 22, these words of Pilate, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" What shall I do then with Jesus, that which is called Christ? We're going to bow together in prayer and ask the Lord for his help for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity to sing thy praises and to rejoice in thee. We thank thee that the people of God can give a testimony to what thou hast wrought in our lives, for thy mighty saving power. And Lord, thou art a great Saviour. And we thank thee for the love of God towards fallen humanity, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Lord, we think of the words of that hymn that expressed that God loved a world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. And Lord, we pray tonight that thou will bless thy word. And as we come and consider it here in this place, may we know the Lord speaking tonight to our hearts. And oh, may we know Christ. May we be able to testify and say that he's not a stranger to us. It's not just something that we've only heard with the hearing of the ear. But may we be able to testify that we know him and he knows us, for he has washed us in his precious blood. So hear us, we pray tonight, and grant us thy blessing now. Give help in the preaching, I ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We want to think about this question that Pilate asked this evening. Now, questions are an unavoidable aspect of everyday life. There's hardly a day goes by. There's not a day goes by. But at some stage or other during the course of the day, maybe even multiple times, we will ask a question of one sort or another. By asking a question, well, we can acquire knowledge of something that we don't know anything about. We can ascertain whether something has been done. If we have asked somebody to do it or give instructions for something to be done and we want to know, well, has it been done? Well, you can ask the question and find out. You can obtain counsel and advice by asking questions. Sometimes the asking of a question reveals uncertainty, maybe even confusion about some matter that somebody's not sure about, and they're asking questions because they want to know more, and they're not aware of just what all the details are, and they're asking questions to find out more information. Asking a question can also suggest indecision, maybe even uncertainty in somebody's mind about a particular thing. They're not clear about something, not sure about something, and they're wanting to know more about it. Well, the question that is before us here in this text of Scripture this evening actually falls into a somewhat different category, because the question that is here in this verse of Scripture is one that reveals a conflict in Pilate's heart. And the conflict that's in Pilate's heart at this particular moment is a conflict between doing what's right and doing what's wrong. That's what is being betrayed here. That's what is being revealed and opened up to us when Pilate utters these words. The Jewish leaders are there, the crowd is there, the people are gathered there, they're all within that gathering, and they're observing Pilate. If you go back up the chapter a little bit there, it tells us that Pilate is sitting upon his judgment seat, and they're all waiting there and looking for him to give his judgment upon the situation that is before him, and he asks this question. What am I going to do? What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And Pilate is revealing to us that there is a conflict that is raging in his heart at that very moment between doing what he knows he ought to do and doing something that he ought not to do. Pilate knows that he ought to release Jesus Christ. He has conversed with the Lord Jesus. He has heard what the people have had to say. He has heard what the Jewish leaders have had to say. He himself has spoken personally with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows that he should release Jesus Christ. There should be not for a moment should he entertain the idea that Jesus Christ should be crucified. Not for a moment should Pilate entertain the idea that he should go along with the people and go along with the Jewish leaders and give them what they want. And they want Christ to be crucified. You see, Pilate's conflict of heart comes from a desire to please the people. That's why he's having this conflict. That's why he's asking this question. In modern words and modern metaphor, Pilate's worried about his opinion poll ratings. He doesn't want to look bad in the eyes of the people. He wants to ingrain himself into their affections, and he wants their support. And here he is, putting out this question, hoping that somebody else will answer the question for him, hoping that somehow there will be an answer and there will be a means of getting away from addressing the question. But there is no getting away from this question. There's no getting away from this question for Pilate. There's no getting away from this question for any of us who are here tonight. Every one of us, every single individual in the world who hears of Jesus Christ has to answer this question, whether they want to or whether they don't. They have to answer this question at some stage. What are they going to do with Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ makes certain claims. And it's because of those claims that he makes upon the heart of an individual that there is this question that is found in the Word of God, and it is applicable to each and every one of us, not just to Pilate. It's not something that can be read and just passed over and set aside, and it doesn't matter, it doesn't apply to anybody else. Sure, that was only Pilate and the condition and the situation that he found himself in. Every single individual has to answer this question. What are you and what am I going to do with Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ makes certain claims. Claims that demand a response from every one of us. He sets himself forth as the Savior of sinners. He sets himself forth as the one who is to be believed and who is to be trusted. He is the one who not only invites sinners in the gospel to come to him, but he is the one who commands sinners in the gospel to come to him. The gospel is both. The gospel is preached, and it's an invitation. And oftentimes we might frame even preaching in that, maybe even hymns that are sung in that regard, that the gospel is an invitation. And so it is. There's that invitation that goes out to sinners to come to Christ. But the gospel is also a command. Sinners are commanded to believe the gospel. Sinners are commanded to repent and come to Christ. And because of the claims that Jesus Christ makes upon an individual, therefore this question is applicable to each and every individual. And each and every individual has to answer this question. What am I going to do with Jesus Christ? Pilate is facing up to that question. And I want us to think about that question tonight for a little moment or two and challenge each one here tonight. You'll have to answer the question tonight. Ere you leave this meeting, you have to answer the question. You will answer the question. You mightn't answer the question outwardly and openly and that others will hear what you have to say, but nevertheless, you will answer the question. In your heart of hearts, you will answer the question. You will make it obvious to the Lord, if not to others, who are beside you or around about you or walking out the door next to you. They might not be aware as to what the answer is in your heart, but the Lord will know, because he sees our thoughts. He knows the very thoughts that we think, and he will know what the answer is that we will give to this question. What will you and I do with Jesus Christ? What will you and I do with the claims of Jesus Christ? He claims to be the Savior of sinners. He exhorts you to come. He commands you to come and repent and believe the gospel and get right with God. Because the natural heart is not right with God, and it needs to get right with God. It's like that man Simon that Peter spoke to in Acts 8, when Peter said to him, "Thy heart is not right in the sight of God." And that is how it is with every individual by nature. Our hearts are not right with God, and they need to be right with God. And there are claims that Christ makes upon every single individual. So what will we do with Christ? Well, I want you to consider here Pilate and his facing up to this question. I want you, first of all, to consider the dilemma that Pilate faced. the dilemma that Pilate faced, because Pilate here has the Lord Jesus Christ standing before him. Pilate there, verse 19 tells us that when he was set down on the judgment seat, Pilate is there to pass judgment. He's the Roman governor. He's the final authority in the Roman province of Judea. The Jewish leaders are there. The people are there. They have been influenced by the Jewish leaders. And we know what they're calling for in verse 20. It tells us that they have persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. It's Pilate who's going to have to make the decision. Pilate is going to have to face up to the situation that he finds himself in. Pilate is at the crossroads. He's at the crossroads. That's evident from what he's saying here and how he responds in verse 23, because having uttered this question and they all cry there at the end of verse 22, let him be crucified. The governor then, verse 23, the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, let him be crucified. So if Pilate is facing a dilemma, he thinks that he can excuse himself from making a decision. Because we've read there from where we started reading and elsewhere as well as mentioned, but there's sufficient recorded there for us to understand the ploy that Pilate is seeking to bring in here back in verse 16, because it mentions this notable prisoner called Barabbas. And Pilate is working a move here, and he's thinking, well, if he can set before the Jews a choice of Jesus Christ or the worst sinner that there is incarcerated at that moment under Roman authority, if he presents these two individuals before the people, he thinks, sure, they're going to choose Jesus of Nazareth. They'll not want to side with the man who is notorious. He was a murderer. He was on charges of insurrection, the scripture tells us. And Pilate thinks that he can get out from facing up to this matter and doing what is right and doing what he ought to do. And he thinks, I'll give them this choice. They can have Barabbas or they can have Christ. And little did he think that they were going to say, we'll take Barabbas. We'll take Barabbas. So Pilate's dilemma cannot be escaped from. And neither can you and I escape from answering this question. Many attempt. Many try to make excuses, just as Pilate did. There's no escape from it. And that's Pilate's problem. There is no escape. He in many ways is boxed into the corner. He cannot get away from this matter. He's going to have to face up to this matter. What is he going to do with Jesus Christ? He is sitting on the judgment seat. That tells us there, we're told that in verse 19. He is going to have to make the decision with regards to what's going to happen, who's going to be released, who's going to be crucified. And nothing that he does, no ploy that he brings in, will ever excuse him and be able to exempt him from making this decision. Pilate is coming face to face with that reality. He's going to have to decide for himself, what am I going to do with Jesus Christ? And you and I cannot escape the same dilemma. We have to decide, what are we going to do with Jesus Christ? You see, this is what we do with Jesus Christ is a pivotal question, because it settles our eternal destiny. It determines whether we're going to heaven or going to hell. That's how serious it is. There's no more important matter then in all the world than this. No more important question that we could ever address than this. This question is pivotal. It will determine what direction in life we take. We're either going to be on the narrow way that's leading upward to heaven, or we're going to be on the broad road that's leading down to eternal destruction. What we do with Christ is going to determine our eternal destiny. Pilate said, what shall I do? It's personal. It's personal. Each one of us must face up to this personally, individually. We can say it's a pressing question, because time is short. Life is uncertain. Death is sure. We can't presume upon tomorrow. There's no guarantee of another day. Therefore, it's a question that needs to be answered here and now. It's not something to be postponed unto another time. because of the seriousness of it, it is something that we must address this evening. Pilate stood at the crossroads, and so do each one of us. What are we going to do with Jesus Christ? I want you secondly to consider Pilate's decision. Pilate's decision, because he had to make the decision, and he did. He did. When he saw that his ploy would not work in offering them Barabbas, the worst criminal that there was, as I say, incarcerated and under Roman authority at that time in Jerusalem, the people aren't going to buy that. They're not going to fall for Pilate's ploy. He has to make his decision, and he did. He did make his choice. But I want you to consider for a little moment tonight the conflict that raged in his heart as he makes this decision. You see, the Word of God reveals to us something of the conflict that went on in the heart and mind and soul of Pilate. The Bible reveals something of that conflict that went on in the heart and soul and mind of Pilate as he is facing up to this decision. And what's he going to do with Jesus Christ? The Word of God set some of this before us. So the fact that the Word of God records this about Pilate, surely it's there for us to notice. You see, Pilate is being pulled both ways. There's that which is drawing him to release Jesus Christ. As we started out saying, Pilate knows what he ought to do. He knows that he ought to release Christ. And there's that which draws him towards that conclusion. And then on the other side, there's that which is drawing him away and would have him to decide against Christ, that he'd release Barabbas instead and condemn Jesus Christ to be crucified. And the Word of God reveals that to us when you think about what's here in Matthew chapter 27 and also in the other Gospels as well. You find that conflict. The Lord is opening up in his word and giving us a little insight into the thinking in Pharaoh's heart. Here is a man, and he's facing this decision. He's facing this question. What am I going to do with Jesus Christ? Because in uttering the question, he's actually revealing his thoughts. This is what's going on in his mind. And sometimes what is being thought of does find expression in words. Many times things that are thought of never get as far as our lips at all and our tongue and never find expression in words. But sometimes people speak out what they're thinking. And that's really what Pilate is doing. Pilate is speaking out here what he's thinking at this moment. And in his mind, he's facing this decision. What am I going to do? What am I going to do with Jesus Christ? And the Bible indicates to us that he's drawn one way. There's that which pulls him the other way. You see, think for a moment of that which was drawing him and directing him to decide for Jesus Christ. There's two things that are mentioned in the gospel accounts. There's first of all the witness of his own conscience. Verse 18, look at verse 18 there. It says, "For he knew that for envy they had delivered him." That's Pilate's conclusion. Pilate has concluded the reason why they want Christ to be crucified is out of envy. It's not out of justice. It's not out of doing what's right. It's pure envy, pure spite against the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate has come to that conclusion. He has said, without turning up the references, Luke 23 verse 4, John 19 verses 4 and 5, in those places, Pilate says that he has found no fault in Christ. I find no fault in this man. That's what he had said on more than one occasion. So Pilate knows in his own conscience what he ought to do. He has conversed with Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus has spoken to him. The scripture tells us further on over in Timothy that the Lord Jesus witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate. The Lord spoke to him. The Lord spoke to him about the gospel. The Lord spoke to him about his need. Pilate knows in his own conscience what he ought to do. And he is drawn towards that by his own conscience. He ought to release Christ. He ought to do what's right with regards to the Lord Jesus. There's also the intervention of his closest companion. Verse 19 tells us that as he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him a message. And this was remarkable that his wife would intervene in the administration of Roman justice. It was totally out of the ordinary. It was not the common custom at all that she would do this, or any individual would think of ever intervening in this fashion. But this woman is so exercised by this matter and what she knows and what she has been taught about Jesus Christ that she sends a message to Pilate, and she tells him there in that verse, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." So there's the witness of his closest companion. And his wife is telling him, "Don't you do anything to wrong Jesus Christ. He's a just man." And maybe there's somebody here tonight and there's that which draws you towards Christ. There's that which tells you you ought to come to know him. You ought to get right with God. You ought to yield to the claims of Jesus Christ and the claims of the gospel. Is there that prick of your conscience this very moment by the Spirit of God? That he would prick your conscience and tell you this is what you ought to do? That striving of the Holy Spirit within that teaches us and shows us what we ought to do with Jesus Christ? That we ought to yield to him and to the claims of the gospel? What about somebody close to us? Maybe the closest companion we have in life. Be it a spouse or somebody else. Somebody witness to us. Somebody speak to us. Maybe those that are saved tonight could testify. Yes, somebody spoke to me. We heard that in the testimony. And I'm sure every Christian could say that in some regard. Somebody spoke to us. Somebody witnessed to us. Somebody challenged us about the things of God and our need of Jesus Christ and coming to know him. Has there somebody challenged you about coming to Christ? Is there that which draws you to Christ to decide for him? There was with Pilate. And then, on the other hand, there was that which was drawing Pilate away from Christ. Listen to the clamour of the crowd. We have a little insight there to it in verse 22, just immediately after the question is uttered by Pilate. The people give the answer, "Let him be crucified." And then Pilate asks again in verse 23, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out even more, it says, "Let him be crucified." So here's the call of the crowd. Here's the call of the world to Pilate. Crucify him. Decide against Christ. Don't release him. Don't do what's right with regards to Jesus Christ. No, crucify him. Give your word that he can be crucified. Well, doesn't the world call? Many's a sinner. How many an individual fears the crowd, fears their companions, fears the world, fears the scorn or the mockery of the world? Pilate's gripped by the fear of man. And the Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. And the crowd is baying for the blood of Christ, the death of Christ. And Pilate is listening to the crowd. Pilate wants to be popular. Pilate doesn't want to go against the crowd. He doesn't want to side with Christ and have the crowd oppose him, turn against him. And there's many like that. They don't come to Christ because of the fear of man, because of the ridicule of the world, the mockery of the world. There's something that draws them away from Christ, keeps them from coming to Christ. There's also the call of his career. You turn over, or let me read to you John 19 and verse 12, because we find a little bit more there, detail filled in on this particular matter. And in John chapter 19 and in verse 12 it says, "From thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." What was the crowd trying to do? They were trying to put pressure on Pilate. The pressure of his career. "Pilate, you're only the governor because Caesar has given you this position. And just as Caesar has given you this position, he can take it from you. And if we tell that you're going to release a man who claims to be a king, you'll not be too long in your post. You'll not be too long in your job." And there's the crowd. They're crying out, certainly, "Crucify Christ, crucify Christ." But then they're saying to Pilate, "If you let him go, you're no friend of Caesar. And you depend for your job on Caesar." So Pilate's going to make his choice. He's going to make his decision. His conscience is speaking to him. His wife, his closest companion, is speaking to him. On the other side, the crowd are calling upon him what to do. And they're telling him, "Caesar will not be pleased if you side with Christ and release them. Well, look at verse 24 where we were reading Matthew 27. And verse 24, right at the end, the last four words of that chapter, or that verse, it says, here's Pilate's decision. See ye to it. See ye to it. Pilate made his decision. He listened to the crowd. He feared man. He listened to the call of his career. And he thought, I have too much to lose. I'm going to decide against Christ. And there's many an individual does the very same. They decide against Christ. Because of the world. Because of what they think they might lose. And the devil comes and whispers in their ear, oh, you'll lose this, and you'll have these friends to lose, and you'll lose this, and it'll impact your job, or whatever. Pilate listened, and he made his decision. See you to it. Don't make the same decision that Pilate made. Because that brings us on very quickly to notice Pilate's doom. Pilate's doom. Because his decision that he made led to his doom. He tried to excuse what he had done again. We've noticed how he tried to bring in that ploy of offering the choice between Christ or Barabbas, the worst criminal there was in prison at that particular time. Well, here he's trying again another manoeuvre. He's infamous for this, which he did there in verse 24. He calls for the basin of water, and he tries to wash away the guilt of what he has done. No sooner has he made this choice in his heart, because he hasn't uttered it yet to the people, but he's already made the choice in his heart. No sooner has he made the choice in his heart, and he begins to feel the guilt of it. His heart is smitten. His conscience is smitten. He knows he's guilty. He knows he has done wrong. And he tries to wash away the guilt of it. And as I say, he's infamous for that action of washing his hands, trying to wash away the guilt. There's no washing away the guilt. When somebody decides against Jesus Christ, there's no way of escaping the consequences. Pilate's decision sealed his eternal destiny. We said a moment ago that this question was pivotal. It settles our eternal destiny. Pilate is settling his eternal destiny, and it's destiny for despair. It's not for heaven. It's not for the delights of that home above. He's settling for despair. Eternal ruin is going to be Pilate's portion. All because of what he did with Jesus Christ. See ye to it. And as he uttered those words, he sealed his destiny. And what we do with Jesus Christ tonight will seal our destiny. How we answer this question will determine our eternal destiny. If you choose Christ, if you come to Christ, if you yield to his claims, your soul will be saved. You'll be forgiven. You'll be on your way to heaven. But if you reject Christ, you could seal your eternal destiny for despair, for hell, by rejecting Christ. Oh, come to him. Come to him. May you do so even tonight. Let's just bow together in prayer.